Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station for the Inner Life at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, coming to you every weekday to help you know you're not alone on your journey of faith. Great to have all of you with us today. And today it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It's all about Mary and the love and grace she brings to all of us. It's in her fiat, her yes to God's plan, that she teaches us about things like humility, perseverance, and trust. So what does Our Lady teach you? How does Mary walk with you in your faith? And how do you show your devotion to our Blessed Mother? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Here to help us on the journey, back with us once again, Father Boniface Hicks. Father Boniface is a Benedictine monk from the St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, Director of Spiritual Formation for the Seminarians, and Programming Manager and host of We Are One Body Catholic Radio. Father Boniface Hicks, great to have you back. How are you doing today?
Wonderful, Chuck. Thanks. So good to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation about Mary today. As we do every day, we'll open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us, and we'll get those lines open here in just a moment. But Father Boniface, get us started. Today this is a beautiful feast, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Give us an overview in terms of what we're celebrating today. I think there is sometimes, occasionally, there's a little bit of confusion.
Yes, the two conceptions that are quite important are the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrate today and is signifying Mary being immaculately conceived or conceived without sin in the womb of Anne, and through a normal marital union of Anne and Joachim, the parents of Mary. We often confuse that with the other conception, which is miraculous, but not the same, which is the virginal conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. That's what we celebrate on the Annunciation, March 25th. But today is about Mary insofar as we are focusing on her conception. Of course, everything about Mary is always about Jesus. Why was she conceived without sin? Because she was made, prepared to be the mother of the Savior. And so she was given a share of sanctifying grace from the moment of her conception. She didn't suffer from original sin as we did, but she was actually protected from that by an advanced share in the redemption. It becomes one of those interesting theological reflections that is one of the reasons it took so long for it to be sort of nailed down dogmatically and then ultimately proclaimed by Blessed Pius IX in 1854. But Mary was conceived without sin as an advanced share. She was redeemed like the rest of us, but she was redeemed from the moment of her conception. And that makes her a little different. She doesn't have the results of original sin, concupiscence, the disordered desires that come from original sin, like the rest of us do. She was made pure from the first moment of her conception, but then by her own free will, unlike Eve, who was also conceived without, or was created, I should say, without sin. She wasn't conceived per se, but Eve was also made without sin, but she didn't maintain that. She gave in to temptation. Both women received the visit of an angel. One said yes and one said no, and we celebrate the one who said yes today.
Yeah, and then Father Boniface, give us an overview, certainly what we're celebrating today, but why is this such a solemn feast in the church calendar?
Well, this is really God's hidden beginning of salvation. So the reason that we orient the entire world calendar around 0 AD is because the Savior entered into the world, Christmas of 0 AD, we could say. But that began with the conception of Mary. When God created her, he created her to be the one who could say yes. He created her as the new Eve. He created her as the first fruits of the redemption. And so she really begins this process. Now, again, she has to grow and she has to come to a place in her free will that she freely accepts her participation in this process of redemption. But this is the conception of the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. And so it is a real beginning of our salvation. And so it's really, really important for us. We also learn today that about our own destiny. Everything that we celebrate about Mary is always ultimately anticipating what God wants to do for us. I like to say that she's the picture on the puzzle box. You know, when you get a puzzle and you want to know what the final picture looks like, and that way you can put the pieces together correctly, Mary is the picture on the puzzle box. She's the one who shows us what we are meant to look like. She is entirely human. Unlike her son Jesus, who is fully human and fully God, Mary is only and entirely human, but she is fully transformed by grace. That's one of the scriptural references that we find for the Immaculate Conception. When the angel appeared to her at the Annunciation, which is the gospel that we hear in today's Mass, when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace," and that little phrase, full of grace, is one word in the Greek, kekaretomene, and that word in the Greek means fully transformed by grace. It's a past completed action. It's the effect that grace has on us. It transforms us, and she is totally transformed by grace. So she is already what we are meant to be, what God is doing in us. We are being transformed by grace. She is fully transformed by grace. And so we also look to her as an example of what God wants to do with us as we see how beautiful she is, how beautiful her yes to God is, how beautiful her open heart is, how much she loves, how much she serves, how much she cares about everyone else first, and then cares about herself second, we could say. The ways that she demonstrates the Christian life are also an example for us. And so we look to her as the finest fruits of our race, as the full completion of God's plan of salvation, and also as the entryway, the beginning of that plan of salvation.
Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Let's open up our phone lines, invite you and our listening audience to join us. It's a toll-free phone number if you'd like to join in the conversation today, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as you look at your journey of faith, and we talk about the Immaculate Conception today, how does Our Lady impact your faith? And we're going to look a little bit at Mary's fiat, her yes. When have you said yes to what you believed was God's plan for your life? And how did you overcome any doubts or maybe uncertainty to eventually trust that God was calling you to something more? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. So, Father Boniface, I was praying this morning the Office of Readings, and in the second reading in the Office of Readings, it was a sermon from St. Anselm. And I was so taken with what he had to say, I thought, since I'm the show host, I kind of get to do what I want. So I just was so taken with this. And this is from a sermon by St. Anselm. He said, "Through Mary, God made himself a son, not different, but the same, by nature, son of God and son of Mary. The whole universe was created by God, and God was born of Mary. God created all things, and Mary gave birth to God. The God who made all things gave himself form through Mary, and thus he made his own creation. He could create all things from nothing, would not remake his ruined creation without Mary." Then he goes on to say that, "For God begot the Son through whom all things were made, and Mary gave birth to him as the Savior of the world." And I love this. "Without God's Son, nothing could exist. And without Mary's Son, nothing could be redeemed." And I don't know what that was for me this morning as I was praying that and reading that, but it just deepened my relationship with Mary, like maybe in a way I haven't experienced before. It just says so much about the role of Our Lady in the creation, but also in our lives as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a little phrase, I think from the Christian East, that It says, God created us without us, but he redeems us only with us. And that's what I hear in the passage that you just read. God created us without us through his Son, through the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and all things were made through him. But God redeemed us only with us, us being inclusive with our humanity, with Mary's choice. And so the redemption comes through God's Son still, but also with the cooperation of Mary. And just as redemption at large comes through God's Son and with the cooperation of Mary, that also gets applied to us personally. We have to make our own choice to be redeemed, to let God redeem us, to let God apply the fruits of his redemption, to die for us. We have to accept his saving love, as Mary did. She said yes, that she would participate. She said yes, that she would accept, in that sense, the fruits of the redemption and give herself to that. What a beautiful passage, Chuck. Thanks for highlighting the office of readings, too, I think, for our listeners to know that the Church's Liturgy of the Hours contains such rich teaching that is really worth tuning into.
Yeah. Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director, talking about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception today. And I guess one of my questions, Father Boniface, we look at this this solemn feast, this really beautiful day in the liturgy of the Church. How should the reality, the fact that God saved and Mary preserved her from the stain of original sin, should that or how should that impact each one of us in terms of our own respective journeys?
Well, I think, again, it shows us where God wants us to be. You know, in heaven, there are only immaculate people. And so God is making us as he already made Mary. Now, Mary was created immaculate, conceived immaculate, and then she maintained her immaculateness by not giving in to sin. As I said, Eve was also created immaculate, but she said no to the Lord, and she did give in to sin. So one thing is what God is doing, that he is continually applying the same grace to us that he originally applied to Mary in order to make us immaculate with our cooperation over time. And before our death or through purgatory, we have to be immaculate in order to be in the presence of God, to be fully united with him in heaven. So when we look to Mary, we see that beautiful example. But we also know that she's not just an example. She's more than the picture on the front of the cover, on the front of the puzzle box, because she also participates in putting the puzzle together. And she really helps us along the journey of faith. And we have this perfect helper who didn't know sin. Sometimes we think that makes her out of touch, as if we have to know evil in order to somehow be in touch with things. But the fact that she's without sin means that she's more sensitive to sin. She's more affected by it. And so she knows even more seriously. We're kind of numb to it. We have a little bit of callousness. We have a layer over our hearts that makes us feel like it's not that big a deal. But she really gets how destructive it is. How destructive it is for us, for the world, for the human race, and how painful it is to God. She totally gets that. Her heart is pierced by our sin. And so she is really motivated as a mother and as being fully involved in this to help us. And so we have a real advocate. We have a helper. We have a mother who guides us also on the journey.
And every time we celebrate feast days of Our Lady, and I think about it actually a lot, but certainly on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, being the Mother of God and being preserved from the stain of original sin, I'm just always amazed. I mean, I think on the surface you might think that maybe her life was going to be easy. I mean, she's the Mother of God. But boy, I'll tell you what, her life wasn't easy at all, was it?
Yeah, that's right. It's tempting to think that she had everything going for her and that she had everything easy, that all the answers were provided, that all of the difficulties were smoothed out. But as you point out, being raised up to a greater height makes one more of a target for the arrows. And she certainly was a target, plus the fact that she was totally involved. Sin has a way of separating us from each other. It has a way of hardening us and putting up walls. But she was totally available, totally open to what her son was doing. And so as she stayed with him at the foot of the cross, she suffered everything he suffered. Her heart was totally open to share in his suffering and share in his redemption. So she was more involved because she was without sin. She wasn't less involved. She was more committed to the most important things and the hardest things because she was Mother of God. And so she played a really central role and continues to in the whole history of salvation. So, no, she didn't get a get-out-of-jail-free card. She didn't get special privileges that she could call on any more than Jesus did. He could have called on 12 legions of angels, but he remained committed to being human, and yet he bore the great responsibility of our redemption, carrying all of our sin and suffering on his shoulders. And Our Lady is right there with him in sharing that.
Mm-hmm. We are talking today about the Immaculate Conception on this feast day. So how does Our Lady impact your faith? And looking at Mary's fiat, we're going to look at that a little bit closer. But when have you said yes to what you believed was God's plan for your life? And how did you overcome any doubts or uncertainty to eventually trust that God was calling you to something more in your life? Father Boniface Hicks is our spiritual director. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz. Jim Shaper answering your phone calls today. And Father Boniface Hicks is our spiritual director. Father Boniface, one of our regular contributors, a Benedictine monk from the St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, director of spiritual formation for the seminarians and programming manager and host of We Are One Body. Catholic Radio there in La Trobe. Father Boniface, along with Father Tom Acklin, author of Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love, that from Emmaus Road Publishing, talking about Mary, our fiat, our yes on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. What's your story in terms of saying yes to our Lord as Mary did? And as you look at your own journey of faith, when have you said yes to what you believed was God's plan for your life? And then just generally speaking, Mary, who is she in your journey of faith? What kind of devotion do you have to the Blessed Mother? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. By the way, if you're just joining us, don't forget you can hear our podcast of the entire program. Just go to the website, relevantradio.com, the Inner Life page, and download today's program, or really any of our programs. This show is generally available for a download within about an hour or so after we say goodbye at the top of the hour. And if the program has given you a little help, maybe a little hope, tell your friends about it. Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director. So Father Boniface, talking about looking at Mary and her fiat, her yes to God's plan in her life. Tell us a little bit, and I know you've told the story before, but walk us back into your call to the priesthood and tell us about your yes. When did you realize, one, you were being called, and when did you realize yes was the answer?
Thanks, Chuck. It's always a joy to share what the Lord did in my life as I went from being an unbaptized atheist at age 20 to a Benedictine monk at age 22. I had quite a significant conversion in my time studying at Penn State University. A stranger came up to me and invited me to study the Bible with him one-on-one. So I guess that was my first yes. He wasn't exactly an angel of light, but really a very good man, full of the light of God. And in spite of my inner resistance and my total dismissal of Christianity, by some grace in the moment, I agreed to give him the time of day and spent an hour with him looking at the Bible together, and it was a very fulfilling experience. His authenticity, his genuine Christian witness, his willingness just to share his faith with me through the scriptures really captured my heart, and I was willing to come back again and again and again and again. And we met weekly for about 9 months before I was willing to say, I think this is really where the truth is that I've been looking for. And I took a plunge into professing my faith in Jesus, and at the same time had an idea that the Catholic Church was the whole thing. And I can't exactly nail down where I got that idea from, but I think it just came from God, because he didn't have time for me to figure it out on my own and just led me into that one. And I started going to Mass, and after about a year of, about 2 years of attending Mass weekly, I was able to receive the sacrament of baptism and confirmation and Holy Communion for the first time. And along the journey, I hit a critical moment. I was studying in Germany and really had a hard stretch, just facing my own limitations, feeling the distance from home, trying to do graduate courses in math and computer science taught in German. And I just was really stretched beyond what I had faced before. And for the first time, I had the courage to, I knew who God was. I can't say I really had a relationship with him, although I'd been doing Bible study almost daily. I knew a lot about him. I really believed. My heart had been moved. But the idea that I could really know him personally was a foreign concept. But I cried out to him in that moment and really asked for his help concretely, and saw him come through for me. And that's when I became aware that there was, in fact, a voice in my heart that was very familiar to me, even though I could never say I had paid attention to it specifically before or recognized that still small voice was the voice of God, and I could really have a relationship with him. That's when I started thinking about the priesthood in that moment. And I have to say, the desire really flowed from me. I started to want to dedicate my life to sharing this gift of prayer. And so it was a matter of carrying that forward, and it was a beautiful moment in adoration where I asked the Lord, he said yes to me. I have to tell you that, Chuck. he said yes to me. I asked him, do you want me to be a priest? And it was the first time I could say in my heart, I heard that that still small voice say, yes, I want you to be a priest. And so I carried through that that desire and eventually found my way to the Benedictines in La Trobe. It was a Benedictine who baptized me in the campus ministry at Penn State, and he brought me to visit the monastery, and there are some other chapters in that story, but that's kind of the essence of it. A stranger came up to me and invited me to Bible study. That brought about my Christian faith, and then just in my facing my own struggles, cried out to the Lord and really discovered I could have a relationship with him, and that's what I wanted to dedicate my life to.
Yeah, and then so Father Boniface, as you journeyed through all of this, who was Mary to you?
Well, that's a great question because the man who invited me to Bible study was not a Catholic. He really didn't know anything about the Catholic Church. He was part of an evangelical Bible study fellowship. And I got to know some other folks in the fellowship as I became involved in doing Bible studies. They claimed to be non-denominational, not trying to pull people away from their churches. But one of the other people in the fellowship started to tell me about Mary when he heard that I was on my way to being baptized Catholic. And he said, you know, I thought about that and I had some concerns because, you know, they have these teachings about Mary. They have some ideas about Mary that are pretty strange. And, you know, you should really look into that. And I was pretty far along on my journey at that point. But I thought, okay, well, so I looked up Catholicism and Fundamentalism by Carl Keating, and I read the sections on Mary. And I have to admit to you, Chuck, I didn't really understand what he was saying. But it sounded compelling. It was clear to me that people had really thought through this. You know, this wasn't something that somebody just came up with and the Catholics are all confused. And I thought, there are really good answers to these objections, and I trust that it's going to be good. So I continued on into the faith. But then the Friday after I was baptized, I was invited to join a men's prayer group. They prayed the rosary, and I sort of figured out in that time of prayer that I really needed to understand more about Mary. So I said this very simple prayer: Mary, I know you're really important, and I don't know you, and I want to, and so please help me to know you. It's really that simple. And within 9 months, I had consecrated myself to Mary, and she had really helped me to enter the monastery and to give my yes to the Lord as I went forward in that process. I got to know a Franciscan of the Renewal who told me about Marian consecration. I went to the final vows of a Carmelite nun and really experienced the bridal quality of the Church and understood that in Mary. Just a number of things fell into place, but I really bring it back to that simple prayer. I just asked her, I don't understand you. I want to. Please help me to know you.
I love the story. I love telling stories, and when our priests tell their stories, it's always amazing. Father Boniface Hicks is our spiritual director on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception, talking about Our Lady today. One of you said yes to Mary, like Mary, in your own journey of faith. And how does Mary impact your faith today? Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. Father Boniface, let's take a phone call. Brandon, listening in St. Charles, Illinois, outside Chicago. Hello, Brandon. Thanks for the call. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Two quick things. Before I came into the church about 6 years ago, I was baptized, but my family stopped going to church. So I went to an evangelical church for a time, and they had a lot of anti-Catholic teachings. And so I had grown very harsh and kind of like didn't like all the Catholic teachings about the Virgin Mary. And I remember expressing my dislike for the church's teachings on the Virgin Mary. And that night I actually had a dream that the Virgin Mary came to me and told me that I was not following her son. And I'm Catholic today, so obviously I listened to the Virgin Mary's warning there. And then two, a couple of years ago, I had a falling out with my mother where we stopped talking for like 2 years, and it was really hard for me. And I turned to the Virgin Mary as my heavenly mother and relied on her intercession and comfort. And she eventually brought reparation and healing in that relationship with my earthly mother. And as a way to honor my earthly mother, I gave her a painting of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So Mary is definitely, very important to me, and every morning when I put my scapular on, I kiss it, and as a way to remind me that she's my Heavenly Mother, I kiss it, and I say, Immaculate Heart of Mary, be my mother today. So that's just kind of my stories.
That is beautiful. What helped you to resolve some of your concerns about Mary? So just that, did you go straight from that prayer into, or that intervention from Our Lady into, or how did your journey unfold there?
So in my dream, she actually recited to me, I think it's Isaiah 61, or the portion of the Gospels where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I can't remember the exact verse.
Yeah, that's right. Isaiah 61.
Free to feed the hungry. And she said to me, she said, Brandon, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And she listed off all these things that I was supposed to be doing that I was not doing in my current state. And the next morning, I opened my Bible because I'd never heard that scripture before. And I opened my Bible and read the gospel, and I read word for word what the Virgin Mary had said to me. And it just kind of made me go like, whoa, like she's intervening. She's telling me how to follow her son. And she's leading
Beautiful.
Me into a closer union with her son and how to honor our Lord. And it took a while still. I had to go through RCIA. I had a lot of other questions and concerns that I had to go through. But it really took the Virgin Mary speaking to me in a dream and actually me educating myself on what the Catholic Church teaches just based on just not going off based off of what all my other Protestant friends and community was telling me. I actually opened a book and educated myself and spent a lot of time in prayer and started praying the rosary. And so she led me to her son in the Eucharist.
Wow, that's fantastic. How beautiful. And has your relationship with her grown in the last 6 years since you became Catholic?
Oh, yes. We have images of Mary on each of our walls. In every room, there's Mary. So she's everywhere in our house.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Brandon, great, great story. And, you know, he brings up a really, really good point, Father Boniface, in terms of Mary, and, you know, obviously non-Catholics criticize those of us who worship in the Catholic Church, that we worship Mary, and we don't. Let's be clear about that. But Mary, and we hear it in this story, Mary is always pointing to her son.
That's right. Yeah, I like to say, you know, as soon as we love Mary more than Jesus does, that, you know, then we can start getting worried, I suppose. But we never love her as much as Jesus does. And she's always bringing us right back to him. He entered the world through her, and he keeps coming to us through her. That's St. Louis de Montfort's simple insight in terms of Marian consecration, that we receive the Jesus through Mary. That was God's chosen path. And so she's not interested in doing anything except for giving us Jesus. And so as soon as we give her attention, even in the Hail Mary, you know, the word Jesus, the name of Jesus has been inserted into the angel's address to Mary, and we could say that she added Jesus to it, so that we never say that prayer to her without coming back to the name of Jesus, her son.
Yeah, and then Father Boniface, Brandon, thanks again. Great story. Great to have you on the program today. But Father, for somebody listening today who maybe, let's just say their relationship with the Blessed Mother is not what they want it to be, what might you suggest to somebody listening today to deepen or to improve their relationship with Mary?
Well, I really encourage the very same prayer that I said. Simply ask her. Tell her that you want to get to know her. Be honest if you don't understand her, like I certainly didn't, and that you want to grow in relationship with her. Just tell her. I think that's really so valuable. And then there are a lot of little ways that we can insert, you know, if you have a little bit of a relationship with her, even to say a Hail Mary every day or to say the Memorare every day, and just turn to her for help, turn to her for her assistance. Those little gestures make so much difference. And then, as Brandon said, putting images of Mary in his house, that's another way just to kind of keep her in mind, keep her before our eyes, and that helps us to look. You know, sometimes we stop in front of a picture like that and say, why do I have that here? Well, because of Mary. So let's just ask her, Mary, help us, be with us. Those things make such a difference. But then if we really want to go deeper, there are some ways to do that, certainly with the rosary, so many rich ways to pray the rosary. And I really recommend the letter of John Paul II, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, the Rosary of the Virgin Mary from his 2003, I think, or 2002 letter on the Virgin Mary. It gives a lot of practical instruction, some very inspiring teaching. Also, the 33 Days to Morning Glory, Father Michael Gately's book, gives some wonderful teaching. And Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, or I love even more his Secret of Mary. It's much shorter and kind of more to the point, The Secret of Mary. So a lot of beautiful ways to draw closer to Mary.
Yeah, and I love Brandon's daily prayer, Immaculate Heart of Mary, be my mother today. I like that a lot. Mm. Father Boniface Hicks is our spiritual director, talking about Mary on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception. How does Our Lady impact your faith? And Mary's yes. When have you said yes to what you believed was God's plan in your life? We'd love to hear the story. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show, or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on the program. Father Boniface Hicks is our spiritual director on The Inner Life today. Father Boniface is a Benedictine monk from the St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, director of spiritual formation for the seminarians, and programming manager and host of We Are One Body Catholic Radio, talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception today, and your story of saying yes in your journey of faith. Has Mary said yes, her fiat? When did you say yes to God? And maybe when you didn't think you could or should, but what happened? Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. By the way, if you joined us late, we would invite you to download the podcast. You can hear the entire program today. Very easy to do. Just go to the website, relevantradio.com, the Inner Life page, and we will have today's program and actually all of our programs available for you to download and listen to. Don't forget to tell your friends and family as well. You never know how someone might be impacted. So, Father Boniface, when we talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary, talk a little bit, because we talk about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I've been thinking a lot, meditating a lot about families today and just being under attack in ways like we've just never, ever seen before. And so we look at Mary, we look at Jesus. There's this man called Joseph, who I think is such a great inspiration, just such a great role model for us. Can you talk about him a little bit in terms of what he brings to our own faith?
Yeah, when you were reading from the Office of Readings, St. Anselm, earlier in our program, and he talks about how God redeemed us with Mary, that Pope Francis in the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia pointed out that God redeemed us through a family. The gospel is clear that Mary was already married to Joseph when the angel came to her. She was still a virgin, but already married. And so God really redeemed us through a family. And so we should never leave out St. Joseph. And it's quite providential. I don't know anybody who was aware that today would begin the year of St. Joseph. Pope Francis announced that December 8th, 2020, the 150th anniversary of the declaration of St. Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church, would inaugurate a year of St. Joseph until December 8th, 2021. So it's quite an historic moment to have the first year of St. Joseph. that we're beginning today. And St. Joseph is the protector of the Holy Family. We see that in the scriptures when the Holy Family was threatened by Herod, when the Holy Family needed shelter, when the Holy Family was in danger in any way, St. Joseph was the protector. He was guided by angels, and he took the family and found shelter for them. And so 150 years ago, Blessed Pius IX declared him the patron of the universal church. It's another little theological connection we can always make, that wherever we see Mary, we can say church. Wherever we see church, we can say Mary. And so the protector of Mary is the protector of the church. And we have a protector, a universal patron in St. Joseph. There are a lot of patrons of this and that, of carpenters and radios and sickness and healthcare workers and lots of other things. But St. Joseph is the only universal patron. He's the patron of everyone and everything. He's the patron of everything because he's the patron. He's the protector of Mary. And so she was able to carry out the very loving formation of Jesus as a baby under that cloak of St. Joseph, under that shadow of St. Joseph. He had a way of taking care of the Holy Family. And so we can come to him also for protection. And he also provided for the Holy Family. His work, his labor, done in great love and sacrifice, provided for all of their needs. And so we can turn to him also as a patron and provider, a protector for all of our needs as well. Chuck, I'm writing a book on St. Joseph, and I've got chapters of material that I can keep talking about if you want me to, but I'll pass it back to you before I do that.
Well, next, I'm going to get to a phone call, but next time we'll do St. Joseph, okay?
All right.
All right. So, Nick, make a note of that. Father Boniface Hicks, next time on the program, we'll talk about St. Joseph. But talking about Mary today, let's head back to the phones. And Janae, listening in San Diego, California, thank you for the call. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to say that about 20 years ago when we first moved to San Diego, our parish, St. John's in Encinitas, had an ad in the bulletin that said, "Won't you spend an hour with me?" And it meant for adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I felt it was Jesus's whisper to me, just asking me to spend time with him like he did his apostles. And I decided to say yes, because he just seemed to be vulnerable and just needed, you know, some company. And I just decided to say, okay, Jesus. And I didn't realize how powerful it would be to spend that hour every week in the Blessed Sacrament. And from there, I grew closer to Mary. And I felt that the rosary became more attractive. And we prayed the rosary at our school, St. James Academy in Solana Beach. And I just decided to pray the rosary every week for my children in the school. And then from there, I just grew closer and closer to Mary. Consecrated myself to Mary in 2010 through St. Louis de Montfort and his book. Just all so many amazing blessings and graces from Mary. And I just feel like she's the soft one. Like, I make mistakes and she'll say, it's okay, just keep going. So I just feel Jesus is the power in Mary. He's like that soft heart that always wants to help.
Wow, I love that. Are you a mother?
I am a mother of four children. And again, I just feel like Mary has made me into just loving my children and being the best mother that I can be. I definitely struggled with being a mother, but I knew that with her helping me, they could turn out okay.
I think that mothers have soft hearts. And I think you recognize the soft heart in Mary, and our hearts always need to be softened, I'm sure, but I think you also have a soft heart. And it's one of the reasons that God made mothers, is to have soft hearts. So those little soft babies that come forth have a soft heart to take them in and to care for them. And all of us at different times, we all get hardened and beaten up by life's difficulties, but ultimately we need a soft place to turn, the soft heart of Jesus. I love the way you said that.
Yeah. Janae, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking time to call in today. Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director, just a few minutes left in the inner hour, inner life with Father Boniface today. And I guess, Father Boniface, what does Mary teach us? I certainly think of humility. I think of trust. But she's a great teacher, isn't she?
Well, I think, as Janae said, she also teaches us to have a soft heart. It's a beautiful quality. I'd love to talk about Mary's sensitivity. I mentioned it a little earlier. Yeah. It's sin that makes us callous and numb. And to be without sin, which is what we celebrate today in the Immaculate Conception, is part of what makes her so sensitive. She really feels the suffering of others. She feels what others are going through. She's invested as a mother. She's there close to us. She has that proximity. That's another thing with mothers, is there's a closeness. You know, we started our lives not just near our mother, but in our mother. They have a way of enveloping with the greatest closeness, and they're totally invested. Their whole body is part of the process of bringing forth children. And our Lady is so much like that. She's really invested in us. And certainly humility, as you mentioned, Chuck, she had every reason being the most privileged one, in the sense that she was given the greatest gifts by our Lord. And yet she always knew her place. She knew that she didn't earn any of it. It was given to her before she was even conceived. How could she earn any of it? And so very humbly, she sees us like as one with us. She sees us like one of herself. And so she doesn't separate us or hold herself above us or look down on us, but she really considers herself to be one of us. And so very, very approachable, very close to us in that way.
Yeah. And then so, Father Boniface, for somebody listening today who's, sitting maybe at the proverbial fork in the road, maybe the mountain is pretty steep, the night's pretty dark, doesn't really know what to do, where to go, trying to discern where God might be calling him or her in their life. How can Mary walk with them? How can Mary be an example in whatever time of their life they might be living in?
Well, certainly she was a woman of prayer, and we imagine that when the angel came to her was probably a time that she was at prayer, probably frequently in prayer. And I think she gives us that example of prayer. Certainly she was gathered with the apostles in prayer at the time of Pentecost. She's really much, very much in the center of that. And I think when we're in a difficult space, we're tempted to shore up our defenses and gather together our strengths and tackle things with what we do best. But a lot of times we need to come before God in our weakness. We need to be open to the amazing thing that He wants to do that we can't accomplish on our own. And that's certainly what Our Lady experienced. Maybe she was praying for the salvation of the world. She knew that she was not capable of that, but it was a desire in her heart that everyone would be saved, that we needed a Redeemer, that the world was in such bad shape. And coming before the Lord with our weakness, our inability to do something, but our great desire for God to do something great, I think Our Lady really teaches us that. And so if we can bring our weakness to the Lord, ask our questions of Him, lean on Him, receive His help, and we do that not alone, but Our Lady is the one who can teach us. Like a mother teaches her child to pray, we can come back to her again and again and say, Mama, teach me to pray. I need to learn more. Teach me how to turn to our Heavenly Father. Teach me how to talk to Him.
Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director on The Inner Life today. We have got to wrap things up. Father Boniface, as you know, we like to close this hour with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
Heavenly Father, on the special day that we celebrate the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, hear her prayer for us, for our redemption, and give us all that we need to be your faithful sons and daughters. May you pour out your blessing on our listeners in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Boniface, great to have you on the program today. We appreciate so much you joining us here on The Inner Life. We'll see you next time. We'll talk about St. Joseph, I promise. Father Boniface Hicks, our spiritual director. Thanks to him. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We do appreciate that as well. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass here in about 60 seconds. The Faith Explained with Cale Clark at 12:30 Central. We're back tomorrow. Hope to see you then.